The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macrocap News on Friday the 17th of October 2025. Hope you're well there. Sorry, haven't done a podcast for quite a few days. I've been working on a couple of articles that may be going out in a well-known investor magazine. So yeah, I have to read that, reread it. I've written it and reread it and make sure there's no problems. And then even then, it comes back with some problems. So I've been caught up with that, and also obviously putting lots of data into the website. But it's a Friday. What a Friday, eh? I've been talking about this for a while. I hate it when people say, "I told you so." I'm not saying I've told you so. Let's be honest. Before I say anything about market corrections and crashes, I always believe they are an opportunity. Always. You know, if you go back and look at any correction crash and you bought, you know, during that time or just after that time, you've done very well because the markets go up over time, full stop. So any downward revision, you know, is against the norm. And so at the moment, you've had American markets, you know, rallying like crazy. Valuations are quite high. And I've been looking back at, you know, corrections, and they happened, you know, once every sort of 120 days in average. This is a 5%. It's not a correction. Correction is 10%. But a 5% dip in the S&P 500 happens every 120 days on average. And this is going back as far as 1995. In fact, let me get my spreadsheet up. It'll take me a couple of seconds here. But let me get my spreadsheet up. Hang on there, please. Oh, my spreadsheet. So it happens a lot. And so at the moment, where are we? We are 240 days since the last drop in the S&P 500. And it tends to happen a lot. And it may go on a lot longer. But what you tend to find, the bigger along the rally, the more corrections happen the year after. Like I say, there was 2 years, looking back at the S&P 500, where it didn't have a 5% correction. That was 1995 and 2017. Now, after 1995... you had one correction in 1996 and a lot of 5% or more. And then one, two, three, four in 1997. So it does happen. After a good run, you tend to have these dips that happen afterwards, after all-time highs. And we've had a lot of all-time highs. 2017 is the same. We had in 2018, you had one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven in 2018, after none in 2017. So we are seeing one of those years. Apart from Trump's, you know, tariff wobble we had back in February, April, we've had nothing for 240 days. So it's double the amount of time on average we normally see. But there's nothing to worry about. You know, especially if you've got a bit of cash, it's fine. Even if you haven't got cash, you know, it'll correct and rally again. But I think, you know, opportunities lie when everything sells off. Irrational selling begets panic selling, and it dips below where it should have gone anyway. And, you know, there's the opportunity because people start worrying. And the narrative, people come, you look at any sort of financial channels, anything online, and people tend to fit the story or the worries, or they dig up worries about what it could be. What's the problem? Is it systemic risk here somewhere? Now, today, and especially going back yesterday, the American markets, the FTSE 100 fell today following renewed concerns about the US regional banking sector after two banks disclosed problems. Zions Bancorp reported a $50 million loss. $50 million. What? That's nothing, is it? Really? After two bad loans, and Western Alliance dealt with a fraudulent borrower. These worries were amplified by the recent bankruptcy of auto parts supplier First Brands, which revealed massive undisclosed liabilities, up to $50 billion, and $2.3 billion in vanished assets. The case has highlighted potential systemic cracks that allow for shadow banking apps, risky financing outside the traditional system, such as using unpaid invoices as collateral. The sentiment was echoed by JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, who warned that the incident suggests more problems may be lurking. And he did say, actually, one of his quotes was, "Well, there's one cockroach, there's usually a lot more." So it may be something like that. But you know what, this sort of, you know, wobble and the recent post from Trump about, you know, hiking tariffs on China, They've rattled the markets. So it does suggest to me that investors are very jittery at the moment. And you tend to get this, you know, to all-time highs, and people are talking about a bubble in AI, all that stuff, stocks overvalued. But like I said, that's it. It's high valuations that can carry on for a long time. You know, there's a huge amount of investment going to AI. And I think some of the biggest companies in America now have spent $155 billion on the development of artificial intelligence. And that is more than the US government has spent on education, training, employment, and social services in 2025 alone. As you can see there, that, you know, it's a lot of money, spending more than the government. But nothing is broken. You know, you only have tend to have big crashes when things are rumoured to be broken somewhere. The system is broken in some way. I mean, if you look at the dot-com bubble, traditional valuation metrics became broken to the point of ridiculous. You know, absolutely ridiculous. Unrealistic valuations based on the hype, investor hype, get big fast, it was the term then. That's sort of happening now with AI, but it's different back then because it burst when investors realised that many of the startups, and we had low interest rates back then as well, many of the startups were unprofitable, triggering a massive panic sell-off, causing stock prices to plummet, led to numerous company failures. That is not going to happen. You're not going to have company failures at the level where sort of Facebook or Meta, whatever they're called, Google, you know, Microsoft, Amazon, NVIDIA, they're not going to have, you know, they are profitable companies, hugely profitable. So it's not the same. Okay, you've got a lot of investment going into AI, but it's not, but I mean, you may get a couple of these AI companies being paid for, private companies, whatever, that are unprofitable and their valuations may be crazy. Maybe that may lead to a bit of a meltdown, but sitting above that are the big companies with, you know, big balance sheets, healthy balance sheets. Then in you've got the great financial crash. Let's be honest, what was broken then? It was going to be the banking system. Nothing worse than that. The very engine or, you know, that drives economic growth, economic stability, was in meltdown. That was a biggie, you know. And so I started investing just before the dot-com bubble. I started investing before, again, seriously, in the great financial crash. And, you know, I survived. I come to the other side better, with more money in my portfolio. So there are always opportunities. You tend to get, you know, when you get aggressive sell-offs, you get aggressive rebounds as well. And so it is opportunity. You know, get companies selling off faster than they should be. They get to massively oversold levels and then they aggressively bounce. And they're going for a couple of years then. There's a good bull market. You have to have these corrections to get a decent bull market run. And none of this, you know, broken. The idea that something has to be broken or is a perception of something broken. It isn't happening. I mean, you've got COVID as well. COVID era crash, of course, the health system around the world was under pressure. The government shut down economies of the world. So many businesses went under because they couldn't trade. And I don't think this is happening yet. I think this is just a healthy correction if it happens. I'll tell you what's up today. Gold, again. Gold is up 65% this year. I'm seriously thinking it's overdone. Really overdone gold. And you've got to think, why is gold rallying? You know, is it an underlying systemic issue? People may be thinking that, you know, maybe worrying about that and piling in. And of course, money flow, and they got momentum. So it's sort of linked to investor concerns over AI bubble, inflation hedging, US dollar debasement. You've got a lot of central banks now, they're not buying bonds, they're buying gold, whatever. And the weakness of the dollar going down. So it's funny. Do you know what's odd? People always say that, you know, if you want to sort of insulate yourself from stock market, you've got to get an asset that's uncorrelated, like Bitcoin. Bitcoin is down like 16% since the start of October. It's down 104,000 a day. And you know what? If there is a problem lurking under the floorboard, some dead bodies, I think it may be in the crypto space. There's a lot of leverage within the crypto environment. And more so than gold. Gold is backed by gold. You know, very few leverage on gold. But crypto, you know, is mired in a more complex system. There's a lot of products out there, like bonds, loans, leverage on crypto assets. They're loaning out at high interest rates. And you wonder, are there quite a few of these companies in trouble? If Bitcoin starts to drop, then some of these companies will be, I think, having a big problem with loaning on crypto. I've seen companies loaning crypto assets to get 8%. That's not sustainable. So, it's okay when crypto's going up, you can do this, but not when it's going down. So I think if there's a skeleton in the closet, it'll be in the crypto space. And of course, there's so much now, so many people invested in crypto that, in fact, I sold my Bitcoin yesterday. Nothing to do with I thought it was going to crash. I didn't want to have money in Coinbase anymore. I prefer my money all in one space. So I just sold my Bitcoin. I didn't have a lot, less than 1% of my total portfolio value, but I sold it, and all of a sudden I started selling off this morning. But just rest assured, listen, don't panic, okay? And it's part of the markets. When people start selling, other people start selling, and then people start looking for worries, people start digging up worries, say, this is the problem, this is the problem, this is the problem. And let's be honest, there's no bigger problem than the great financial crash, the banking system collapsing. And if you look at where we are now compared to where we were then, market-wise, we're way higher, way higher. So, and, after that, after you get a big, fallout like that, you have a phenomenal bull market. So there's opportunity here. And, if you're worried, I would say, as long as you're holding decent companies, decent balance sheets, maybe scale back a bit if you're feeling a bit worried. Maybe, trim a little bit here and there. But I wouldn't go crazy and just sell everything, because you'll be surprised how fast rebounds happen. And if you sell something that's a good company and just being sold because other people are selling it, then you'll miss out. You'll never buy the bottom. So you'll miss out on getting back in. So I wouldn't go wholesale, fire sale, just sell everything. Don't do that. If they're good companies, if they're stressed and having not good trading, maybe there we are. Good companies performing, strong balance sheets, they're growing, good value, decent amount of cash in the balance sheet, not a lot of debt, you're fine. As an investor, we can sort of see through this and look 3 to 5 years down the line. I think, where will this company be in 5 years' time? And the question with a lot of companies, they'll hopefully be doing better, a lot better than they are now. Okay, let's have a look at the market, shall we? Scroll down here on the markets here. So, FTSE 100 down 1.26% to 9316. In fact, the S&P was down 0.6% last year, but it's still up massively this year. How much is... let's look how much the S&P is up this year. One second. Since 2005... it's up 15% this year. Yes, index. It's not a problem. FTSE small cap down 1.5%, 7187. The Russell 2000 actually yesterday in America, which is the small cap index, was down 2%, but it's still closing above, close to recent sort of highs. FTSE 250 down 1.5% to 21651. And the Nasdaq was down 0.5% yesterday. I think this the futures are looking like bigger falls today. Let's have a look what they're looking at the moment. Yeah, Nasdaq is expected to fall by about 1%. S&P around about 0.9%, 1%, and Dow Jones. I mean, it could bring an avalanche of sellers in, so you could have that. It could accelerate a little bit. But let's be honest, if valuation is the only problem on the S&P 500, that'll be corrected by a couple of corrections, fine. There's still great companies there, excellent companies. So don't panic. What else is there? Let's go back to the markets here. AMOL share has done 1.8% today, which is annoying because it's back just below that 777 level, which was previous resistance, which we broke out above, and it got 800 pretty much, but it's back to 777. Brent crude, it's hit an all-time low. Brent crude, $60, 0.73, so a little bit of worry there with Brent crude. Bitcoin down 3.42%, 104,500. What else? Dollar index, it's strengthened a little bit, rolling over a little bit now. The dollar index at 98. Recent high was 99.5. But bonds are sneaking up a little bit. Nothing to be worried about. They're not at recent highs. But the bond yields, UK, 2-year government bond yield, this is a 2-year, of course, 3.8, up 0.44%. The 10-year is up 0.6% at 4.5, and the 30-year is up 0.5% to 5.3. A pound will buy you €1.14, and it'll buy $1.34. Gold is up at $4,338 an ounce. It's going to have a rollover. It's got to. It's literally gone almost vertical. It's gone crazy. So, and you'll see then people are piling out of gold. People are buying at the top here. It gets to the stage, you know, where it's like the least sort of exposure you have to gold, really, is Ramsden's. And it's not really taken off at all, which is, in my mind, it's quite good because, you know, they always get a margin on their gold and their jewellery. But, you know, their net asset value has gone up massively. And input, if you look at the last pre-close trading update, very bullish for Ramsden's. I'm surprised it didn't rally harder. And since that pre-close trading update, it's just gone sideways and come down a little. Have you read that? Have you read it? Just going back, just do yourself a favour. If you are investing in Ramsden's or you're thinking of investing, it's, you know, good growth, undervalued. And just read their last pre-close trading update because it's very bullish indeed. They're going to be opening 8 to 12 stores over the next few. I think there's a big deal going through where they could be acquiring a number of stores. They've got plenty of cash on the balance sheet. And like I said before, since 2017, their revenue's gone up from 260%. Their profit, pre-tax profit, has gone up by 555%. That shows the operational efficiency, economies of scale that they operate at. Beeks, by the way, is doing quite well at the moment. Another company I own. And I said before that when there's a lot of volume, a lot of interest, a lot of eyes on stock market and selling off, a lot of volume goes through exchanges. And that, of course, is a benefit for Beeks. Their colocation services, their cloud infrastructure, exchange cloud, infrastructure does very well. And people tend to buy more space with them. So it'll be very good for Beeks. And in fact, they just popped out above a resistance level at 240. I did mention that in the webinar. I said, maybe you have to go sideways for a little bit. It needs to get above 240. And it broke out nicely. When you get a stock that breaks the 200-day moving average and with a strong up day, like it did with Beeks, that's a very positive sign. And it did that. It went up by, on the Wednesday, I think it was like up 4%, 4.44%, broke 200-day moving average. Yesterday, up 11.5%. And today, it's up, another 1%. So three strong up days, breaking through that resistance level and 200-day moving average. That's a very good sign, very bullish sign. I mean, it could go sideways for a while because it's rallied strongly. But I'm quite encouraged by that move. A good boat time as well. Let's have a look at the MacroCap database. Sharepickers.com. Become a member. It's £2.88 a week. And the amount of data you get, you've got 100 companies now on the MacroCap League. Okay, there's four pages, 25 per page. And last night, I totted up the top 25, looked at their performance over the last year. And they're smashing the indices. Where is it, in fact? Of the last year, the top 25 in the MicroCap League are up 32%. And you can see this on the page. Go to sharepickers.com/about. In fact, click the About Us bit. And you can see the difference. Even it's smashing the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, Dow Jones, Russell 2000, the FTSE 100, FTSE 250, all of them. And also smashing other fund managers in the microcap, small cap space listed in the UK. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 listed fund managers. And it's up 19% against the best performer. It's out. It's beating it by over 19.76%. And the worst performer is beating it by 35.2%. That's JP Morgan UK Small Cap Growth and Income. So check it out, sharepickers.com. About, you can see that there, updated it last night. You see the performance. Let's have a look at it. £2.88 a week, that's all it is. And you may see a couple of articles coming out from me in the Investors Chronicle soon. So if you're a reader of that, then by all means, check me out at sharepickers.com. Let's have a look at this. Insilica, I'll go with first and foremost, okay? Now, this company does have potential, but the delays it keeps having are quite annoying. So they are ENSI's ticker, ENSI, I don't hold any stock here, leading fabless supply of complex mixed signal ASICs to OEMs and system houses. So they get these non-recurring revenue for designs, and then you get sort of recurring revenue for making these chips and all that. And once they go into companies, products, OEMs, products, and they get recurring revenue. And once that pipeline builds up, it's looking quite good. As yet, though, they are suffering from quite a bit of delays. And I think this is the second sort of profit warning in a couple of months. But at 43 pence, they are 41 million market cap, enterprise value 40.7. And what did they say yesterday? Trading update. It all looked quite good until they got to the project with our customer, SIAE Microelectronica, a leading European specialist in wireless communication technology, highlighted on April the trader, remains on hold. So they've been awarded it's due to sort of cash constraints here. So it's a problem. As a result of the bad debt provision, the company now expects to announce revenues of approximately 18.2 million. Finesco done my comments, so I sort of highlight this. So revenues for 25 expected to be 18.2 million versus an expected 19.6, down 7.14% there. EBITDA loss of approximately 1.3 million versus an expected gain of 400,000 EBITDA. Revenues of 26 have also been affected, now expected to be 28 million versus 28 million between 28 and 30 million versus an expected 33. So it's down about 12%. EBITDA of 26 is expected to be between 3.5 and 4.5 million versus an expected 5.1. So it's down 21%. So I would wait. I mean, I do think this company has potential, but as yet, they're going to make a loss for 2025 of around about 3.5 million net loss. And they're expected to make a profit then 26 of about 250K. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, they suffer with a lot of delays there, but I think it's one worth watching. You never know. They've got next, Synectix. SNX is a leader in advanced security and surveillance systems that help protect people, property, communities, and assets around the world. The company's expertise is providing solutions. So they do hardware and software. Okay, they've got some big contracts with some big casinos and oil and gas. And I think, some commentators of the day are saying, the trouble is, what about AI? They do have AI. They use AI with all their kit there. So they are quite technically enabled. But at 285 a share, market cap 47 million, enterprise value 38.2. In fact, did this sell off a little bit today? Let me just check. I'm going to adjust the price here so we can get the proper valuations, because I think it's a company worth looking at, especially if it dips general market and it's not warranted, because I think it could be let's look, it's 283 a share. Where are we at? Pretty much 283. Let me just click in there, Synectix. So back to my website there, just checking the price on things. So it was, 283 a share, 47 million, enterprise value 37. So they got a decent amount of cash, 9.6 million in cash, no debt, which is nice to see. So what do they announce? Trading update. So let me just scroll down here. So trading update for full year to 30th of November. Revenues, 67 million versus 55.8. Profit for tax, no less than 5.7 versus 4.7. In their previous statement, they said trading remains comfortably in line with full year 25 market expectations. We've got double-digit top and bottom line growth here. So 20% top line for 2025 expected, and 42% net profit growth to 4.5 million. So it's a PE of 11, EV earnings of 8. So current weakness in the share price, I would say, listen, this is a very good company worth doing some research on. The track record of beating expectations. And like I said, right now, on a PE of 11, with top line growth of 20%, net profit of 42%, it's worth researching. SNX. Growth and value. That's exactly the type of stock as an investor you should be researching. Growth and value. What else is there? Audioboom. Yeah. You listen to this podcast via Audioboom, a global podcaster. Our shows are downloaded around 130 million times each month. So at 5.54 share, they've got a market cap of 97 million. So the trading update for Q3. They say record Q3 trading, 127% year-to-date adjusted EBITDA growth. Yeah, adjusted EBITDA. Total revenue for 9 months to 30 September of 55.5 million. Sorry, total revenue for 9 months to 30 September, $55.5 million, up 5% in the same period last year. Now, 5% for a small company that's supposed to be growing doesn't sound that impressive to me. And they did buy Adlicious, a loss-making company. They're close to, they just weren't making a profit, and they bought this Adlicious acquisition, which is a podcast in the UK, and it's loss-making, which will drag it back. And it does affect it, because they say Q3 RPM, average revenue per 1,000 downloads, is $51.92. As expected, lower than the prior year, 66. So it's down from, it's down from $66 to $51.92. This is due to the increase in lower yield UK downloads from Adlicious acquisition. I don't think this is a good acquisition. You're trying to get scale here, but on a company that's of a lesser quality and value, when podcasters don't make a big margin anyway, it affects you. If you look at PE, I know other people don't use PEs, but the brokers using it, we reiterate our target price of 1,300 pence based on a 3.5 2026 EV sales. It's a lofty target. I tend not to favour this type of valuation metric. Maybe this is a preferred way of valuing digital media companies in the US, but I question whether it's relevant in the UK. I mean, if you look at PE level, you're talking about 13% top line growth for this year, they're expecting, up to 61 million, 61.5 million. That's 13% top line. Net profit, 20% growth to 814K. That puts them on a PE of 120. Okay, there's supposed to be improvement in 26. Top line growth of 69.9 million, up 14% on 25. And net profit up 173%, 2.2 million, which is a bit better there. That's net profit. That would put them on a PE of 44. Still not cheap, is it? But they're going in the right direction. They also state the company has not received any proposal for the sale of the company, and in particular has not received an approach within the meaning of the city code on takeovers and mergers. Regardless of what this sentence implies, like they've had some offers and not on the table yet, but people sound them out. Why do they say that? Within the meaning. It just casts a bit of, jiggery pokery. It's not clean, it's not honest, it's not transparent. Trying to be a little bit, we've had a couple of bids, but not on the table yet. So regardless of what the wording implies, there does not seem to be an official offer on the table, despite news being leaked to Sky News that there was. And I don't like this. It's a bit disingenuous, isn't it? You just got to say, is there an official bid there? No. Why was it like this leaked to Sky News then that there was? And why are you suggesting within the meaning? Maybe one will be coming along. Who knows? I don't know. But I just think if there's a bid, say there is. If there isn't, there isn't. So that just makes me, look at... I think I know where that's coming from, which part of the management. But I don't think it's... okay, let's have a look at Oxford Metrics, OMG. OMG! A smart sensing and software company enables the interface between the real world and its virtual twin. Our smart sensing technology helps over 10,000 customers in more than 70 countries, including all the world's top 10 games companies and all of the top 20 universities worldwide. So they've got a market cap of 50 million. Enterprise value. In fact, they did have cash of 50 million and down a bit now, 30, about 37 million there. There we are. What do they do? They had a trading update at OMG. So this is for the full year trading update to the 30th of September. The group expects to report adjusted EBIT in line with market expectations for the financial year. However, the broker states for FY25. We have reduced our revenue forecast for Vicon, this is the camera sort of motionless detector thing, to reflect the US headwinds. And we have increased our smart manufacturing forecast to reflect the strong growth in that segment. The net outcome is a reduction in profits, but target price unchanged. So looking at the forecast, 2025 is expecting $45 million in revenue, that's up 9%, $2.7 million net profit, down 8%, PE of 19, but EV earnings with $37 million in cash is about 2 or 3. They are doing a bit of buyback and they pay a nice dividend, I think. Let's look at the dividend. 7% now? 7.4%, really? But they've got plenty of cash. So, interesting. I did say, actually, when I announced this a few days back, I said, decent valuations, expect to return to modest growth in 2026. For 26, I expect to go $49 million top line. It's 9% top line growth. And $2.8 million of net profit, up 4%. So only modest growth. But I did say when I published this, I think it's only a matter of time before this rallies. And just looking, it did jump at the moment, 12% on that 15.9% on Wednesday when I announced this. It has come back a little bit, down 3% yesterday, down 1% a day. So I think we may have seen a bottom here. The growth isn't impressive enough, you know, for me to make me want to take part in this. But the valuation is decent. And they've got a very strong balance sheet, pay a nice dividend. So if you see, you know, a bit of upside, a bit more growth here, I think it's one worth really searching. But as yet, the growth is quite subdued. But the valuation is decent. So, you know, growth and value. Synectics have both. This at the moment has value, a little bit of growth, but as yet, there's a little bit of uncertainty there. But like I said, the valuation now, I think, underpins where it is. It's you know, it's not going to go much lower. Here's an interesting one. Procook. Now, Procook, PROC is the ticker, is a leading direct-to-consumer specialist kitchenware brand. Procook designs, develops, and retails high-quality range of direct-source and own-brand kitchenware, which provides customers with significant value for money. Now, you'd think in this environment, this company would take a hammer in. But they've held up quite well, I think. So at 36 pence a share, market cap 37 million, enterprise value 36. In fact, that's gone down a bit now. They've had, at half year, they had net debt of 4. So they have got enterprise value a bit higher than that now. But what was it? What did they release? Second quarter trading update it was. So whilst mindful, this is what they say, of the economic backdrop, we are on track and confident delivering a strong full-year performance in line with market expectations. They're expecting for 26, 79 million revenue at 14%, 2.4 million net profit of 140%, puts on a PE of 16. And I just think that's quite good in this environment. Double-digit top-line growth, triple-digit profit growth, and the valuation is not cheap. But if this is bottom-of-the-cycle earnings, it's worth a watch. Because if they're performing like this in a bad environment, then you think they are outperforming, you know, peers. So if they can do that in an upturn, then it's worth a look. So it's PROC, is ticker. Anything else? I think I'll leave it there now. There's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 15 companies updated on the database in the last few days. But if you want to see them, go to shapepickers.com. If you're a member, of course, Minecraft database. If you want to become a member, then claim 40% off right now. That's the price of a jumbo savalai from the chippy. That's all it is. A jumbo savalai, that odd red thing with meat in it, that's apparently come from Italy years ago. Not the one in the chip shop. Of course, they make them new or fresh. Well, how fresh can a savalai be? It's dirty old meat, isn't it? But £2.88, a savalai is just over that. One feeds your belly, is bad for your health. One feeds your mind, it's good for your wealth. Thanks for listening. Have a nice weekend, and we'll speak to you next week. Don't panic in these markets. It's very normal for markets of correction after a good run. And, of course, we follow American markets, so that's what's happening. Things will be better value, cheaper, you know, after it. And, you know, you got to rebase from a bottom from which the next rally will take place. So just keep calm, relax, chill. Have a nice weekend. Speak to you next week. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.